Rebecca Appicito's home is located in the Navajo community of Tohajale, 30 miles west of Albuquerque. She is one of about 1,600 people who live here. Driving to her house, the only signs of activity are a lone dog looking for water, a truck driving by, and a few horses grazing. But the quiet surroundings are misleading. To keep safe, Appicito double bolts her doors and locks her windows at night, installs smoke detectors, keeps 7 dogs and a shotgun for protection.
To protect yourself, you gotta protect yourself, but I guess nowadays you can't, you know, with all these drugs going on, deaths all going on, murder, and the escapees from everything. They just want to get money on something. So I think it's best to have a weapon around you. You never know, you know, what they have.
The household gun became the center of a legal controversy last summer. Appicito says that Cody Willie, another tribal member, broke into her house when she was away. She says that her son Jordan shot Cody in self-defense.
He didn't just got shot right away. My son had tried to tell him to leave numerous times, and he never did. But he kept forcing himself and everything.
But the federal judge didn't see it as self-defense and sentenced Jordan to 4 years in prison. The shooting permanently disabled Cody. The facts of this particular case are still in dispute, but U.S. Attorney Ken Gonzalez says that assaults with deadly weapons are on the top of the major crime list in New Mexico's Indian Country, which includes 23 tribes.
The manner by which people carry out these assaults really is without exception, because, you know, it's going to be firearms, it'll be rocks, it'll be baseball bats, crowbars, hockey sticks, whatever is within reach.
The offenders of all types of major crime in Indian Country are both Native and non-Native. In 2004, the U.S. Department of Justice reported that in the majority of cases, 60%, the Native American victim described the offender as white. Whether the offender is Native or non-Native, U.S. Attorney Gonzalez says that his office has been cracking down on crime in Indian Country, but it's not just about getting more convictions.
I think you'd see an increase in the numbers, but even if you saw a flat number or a flat rate from years past, I think what you're seeing are better cases, better investigations, I think in appropriate cases, higher sentences.
In addition to stepping up prosecutions, the Tribal Law and Order Act encourages the development of community-based programs. Appicito says that if these kind of programs would have been available in her community, things may have turned out different for both Cody and Jordan.
If they would have talked to him, sent him somewhere to get help or something, probably this wouldn't have happened. But it seems like, you know, nobody cares about these kids nowadays. They either get killed or, you know, everything. Look what happened. Now the victim is disabled and all that.
But many tribes can't afford to develop youth services, court systems, or detention facilities, resources they need to comply with the Tribal Law and Order Act. Navajo Nation's District Court Judge Irene Toledo says that the Tribal Law and Order Act is an empty promise so far.
There's no monies that are being put to these programs to fund it, to help the tribes to be able to access these things.
The U.S. Department of Justice has a grant program that helps fund some tribal justice services. Tribes are also looking closer at how this federal law will impact tribal laws and customs, and how tribes can work closer with the federal government to keep violent offenders locked up. For KUNM, I'm Colleen Keene.